Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Whether it's a midweek game on the continent or a big weekend clash, cash in with your soccer knowledge on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match of up to $100. This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 long seasons of exile in the National League. Dedicated staff and passionate supporters celebrate the city's return to glory, the big time, all while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in that higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One's promised land? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
Welcome to a Men in Blazers pod special. It's Dave-O. Here with a new installment of our pod special series presented by our friends at Camarena Tequila, who are supporting this collection of extended conversations with some of the biggest guests in the Men in Blazers universe. Today's guest, a hip-hop legend and poet of our times, RZA. You'll know him as the man at the tip of that Wu-Tang phalanx that set new milestones for the genre of hip-hop and the music industry at large in the 90s. But since then, RZA's approach to creativity has taken him beyond music into writing and directing films, acting, and something he shares with Rog, a love of chess. This conversation is about that creative transformation and is one of my favourites of the last year. So here it is, a Men in Blazers pod special with RZA, presented by Camarena Tequila.
My guest today roots from Staten Island, Shaolin, to define himself as the producer and mastermind of the Wu-Tang Clan, one of the rawest, most creative, influential hip-hop ensembles of all time. He's proceeded to become a filmmaker, actor, writer, philosopher, chess master, man of many names, and he's now the star of Nobody, along with Bob Odenkirk. Welcome to the Eric Cantona of hip-hop, RZA.
In the building. Wu-Tang forever. Wow. Thanks for inviting me. Been a fan of the show. So happy to be here dancing with you. Not dancing, but mentally dancing.
Bong bong, RZA. I revere you. Enter the Wu-Tang 36 chambers. Change music in general, hip-hop in particular. You're such an American original. Above all, I love the way you attack life. You were once asked about your overall approach, and you quoted some advice Quincy Jones once gave ODB. When it rains,
get wet. Yes, indeed. And ODB took that advice and utilized it. I missed it. I had to learn about it later. It's still raining and I'm getting wet now.
What does it mean to you that there's always a certain joy to the situation that you got to absorb? The rain, find the rain in life.
Exactly. And some people, when it rains, they cower. They go under the umbrella. They don't know how to face it. And you got to know how to face things and embrace it. There was a great quote in the Jim Jarmusch film called Ghost Dog, where he says, when it rains, many people would like to hide under the eaves of buildings to avoid getting wet, but they still get wet. Right? So just go ahead and get wet and don't be perplexed, because you're going to get soaked regardless.
Your life has been a journey. Your origin story is remarkable. You spent an enormous amount of time walking the length of Staten Island, thinking of a master plan, reading books about how to make it big, and think about the cast of local MCs you hung out with, Ghostface, GZA, Method Man, whom you called together one night in your basement and promised, just give me 5 years, we nine can become iconic. You ended up doing exactly that, but take me back to that moment. What made you so sure?
When you have a vision and you see something clear, it's almost like Einstein seeing that E equals MC squared. It's an equation that he saw clearly and he wrote it. Of course, it takes time for the equation to be calculated to come to reality. And I saw that through the hip-hop talent of Wu-Tang and the brotherhood that we had and the skill set, I saw that if we was to unite and put our energy behind a spearhead, me being that spearhead, we could pierce through this industry. And I needed the trust and the confidence and no type of a conflict. And I asked for it, and the brothers gave it to me. And I knew it would take about 5 years. I figured 5 years, we should get to number one. And in 5 years, bang, we was number one.
Bands are often trios, foursomes. But yours was a many-headed hydra, a hip-hop 10 tigers from Kwangton. Potentially a football team. At the outset, what did it take to corral all those different artists with different styles, different personalities into one collective unit?
Well, it has to be a common denominator. You compared it to a football team, which is true. Everybody on that team, if we play soccer, you on that team to get the ball to the goal. Everybody is all aiming at kicking that ball into the goal, into that net. So that's the same thing. We had a common denominator. And that common denominator, of course, was hip-hop. It was our way of thinking. And also, just to be clear, we were all at the bottom. So the only way to do was to unify, to make yourself come up. It's like a team in last place. I hate playing a team in last place because they got nothing to lose. We call that in sports the Buster Douglas. When Buster Douglas beat Mike Tyson, he had nothing to lose. Mike had the entire world to lose, and he lost it.
It's true. Sheffield United fans listening, Rizza should be your next manager. You did it in your own way, though. Fundamentals of the samurai code. You forged these individuals to be one, a clan. But I love your self-awareness, because artistry ultimately rises or falls on a singular vision. A quote of yours, "I'm Captain Kirk and I'm flying this Starship Enterprise. If I'm lucky to have Mr. Spock on my side, we're going to go somewhere that nobody's been before." But you knew you were Captain Kirk.
Yes, indeed. And look, sometimes Captain Kirk, he has to beam down to the planet himself. And I was never scared to get dirty. You hear me on songs rapping. When other artists would leave the studio, then maybe Method Man or Raekwon left the studio at 1 o'clock in the morning. I stayed till 4 a.m., 5 a.m. the next day. And maybe after the verse was done, it needed some ad-libs or it needed another verse to come after that. I would provide that. So a good leader, a good general, even the best coaches have played the game. They're willing to get on the field. You can't just tell somebody what to do. You may have to physically show them, and you got to have that ability to show them. So being a Captain Kirk, which is my mentality as a captain, or as they call me, the abbot of Wu-Tang, I never was scared to beam down to the planet and get my hands dirty.
I always wanted to be a Spot, Rizza. I was always more of a Scotty. Of your creative style, Ghostface Killer once said, "Those beats are straight from the basement, and they're also from the heart, the soul." He called you a doctor as you performed surgery with your ASR-10. Can you describe the essence of your creative approach?
That's a great compliment from Ghostface. A lot of people don't get a chance to see me create because we liken it. I don't know if I could use foul language. You could bleep this word, okay? Usually when I'm making a beat, remember you, God, he'll say, "Everybody get out the room. Chris is about to take a shit." Right? Because he knows that I'm going to go and I need that space. But Ghostface, being that we was roommates for many years, he got a chance to see it. And he'll see me start from just a click or just a snare drum and end up with an entire track, an entire song. So he's seen me grab pieces and sounds from wherever. I don't care if it was a kick from one Kung Fu movie, a laugh from another, a line from this, a sound from a Peter Pan string section, or a kick from Syl Johnson. He would see all that and he'll see me meld it together and create a new body, almost like Frankenstein. And that was my style of production. And that was before we had the button on the machine that says auto chop. It wasn't an auto chop. You had to give hours to grab sounds to put those sounds together.
But you didn't just keep doing the same thing over and over. I once read you say this and it stayed with me, Rizza, because to me, it's not just about music, it's about life. You said, "I've been blessed with foresight on a lot of things. People don't like to take risks, but you've got to." Can you talk about the risk-taking that you've been engaged with creatively?
Yeah, of course. You figure after somebody is successful in music and they're getting economic success, right? And critical success, platinum albums and all these type of things. And people have fear to leave their field. They want to keep repeating something, not knowing that art is just life itself. It should evolve. So the risk that I took, I left music and I went to the film industry. I went from a hip hop producer to a film composer. Because I went from making beats that was 2 bars to 4 bars to 8 to 16. And of course, I was nervous about it because when I would play the 16 bar or 20 bar phrase, nobody would rap to it. So I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. And fortunately, there was a director named Jim Jarmusch working on a film called Ghost Dog. And he was like, I'm looking for a composer and I'm a big fan of your music. Would you be my composer? And I was like, that's what I'm doing. I'm actually leading myself to composing. And of course that led to Kill Bill and led to, you know, dozens of other films of me as a composer. But even there, Roger, I didn't stop because I realized that the wavelength of composing or making hip hop and producing albums have a common denominator with writing and directing films. There's a wavelength. So one could be considered a micro, one could be considered a macro. So making an album to me is like assembling a band. But then I learned that if I want to make a movie, I better assemble an orchestra. And that's led to me directing movies and led to my newest film, Cutthroat City, which is available now on Netflix and ended up being the number one film on Netflix, which was a great blessing and a great tribute to the hard work I put into it and the hard work that my cast put into it.
Take risks in life, people. Take risks in life. The writer, Sean Fennessy, once described Wu-Tang as 9 hilarious, utterly original men obsessed with childish things, but explaining them in grown ways. And he's right, because you span a mythology based on obscure references to the passions of your youth, kung fu films, Eastern culture, the neighborhoods you grew up in. How do you understand your ability to take something so local, so personal, that could have been niche, but spinning it into the wide net of appeal that you had?
Well, you can't say that we understood it. But you could say that we lived it. So sometimes you don't understand it, but you go with what you live. Papa Wu, rest in peace, Papa Wu always told us, he said, yo God, the child you were is what's gonna make you the man you are today. And so why not go back and reflect on your childhood and take all those great things that you experienced and put it into your art to manifest your manhood? You look at great leaders in music, or if you look at it in spiritual. If we look at Buddha, you know, Buddha, as a child, they said he was very observant of the laymen, very observant of the pains of people. He didn't want to step on the insects. Then when he became a man and he had to become a warrior and a king, they told him, forget all that foolish childhood things. But he didn't. He actually left being a king, left being a warrior, to go and figure out how do we as men, women, keep this child heart. If you look at the world through the eyes of a child, the world is always beautiful.
Billy Gilmour, I'd be tossing and flossing. My style is awesome. I'm causing more family feuds.
Family feuds and Richard Dawson. And the survey said,
you're dead. You built an empire out of these childish, grown-up wonders, Wu-Tang Empire, which sustained clothing lines, video games, films. But you also talked about the challenge of success, RZA, when you said the worst part is the fear of not being able to rise above your last plateau. There's something about success, you said, that, quote, trembling. How'd you push through that challenge?
That was the toughest thing, right? Because of how you measure your success. So if you're measuring your success with platinum albums and million-dollar checks and those things stop happening, everything you do after that, you start to feel unsuccessful. And I actually put out a gold album once called Bobby Digital, and I felt unsuccessful. I felt depressed for a couple of weeks. It took one of the other record executives at V2 Records when we had a big meeting about what to do next, what's the next single. And I was sitting there all mad that we didn't sell a million records. We sold about 700,000, right? And the guy at V2 said, why is everybody so down? This is the first release on our label, and we got a gold record on our first release. So for him, it was a win. for me, it was like, yeah, but my last album was platinum. So the point being, I started measuring myself against the economic success or against critical record sales and those type of things. But a point happened in my life, and it was actually doing A Man with the Iron Fist, the first film that I made, where I realized that the true success is just the completion of the idea. It's almost like if the baby goes through the 9-month gestation and is born, that's the success, because the possibilities are endless once it's completed. So you think about Mozart or Picasso, some great artists who didn't enjoy the economic success of their creativity, but they completed his symphony, his opera, or his painting. And we enjoy it, and we put the value on it. So I realized that the best success now is to complete the project, to complete the idea.
Got to say, I'd bite your arm off for a gold record, RZA, but it is historically hard to be a living legend in your own lifetime and to continue to build on that legacy step by step. And I genuinely revere how you never stay put. You said yourself on Bells of War, WAC MCs only last one season, much like West Brom. And the Resurrector in your sector never repeated a beat. No duplication. Your life is one act of creativity, followed by expansion, followed by growth. It's been a journey of ideas, RZA, a constant evolution, Nick.
Yeah, and thank you for noticing that. Some people may notice, some people may not. We cannot repeat yesterday, brother. Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. So daily, we look to express. And as an artist, and I accept being an artist, my expression is going to come out in an artistic way. You know what I mean? We started season 2 of Wu-Tang and American Saga.
On Hulu.
Yeah, on Hulu. And I'm sitting there watching the actors reenact some of the things we did as kids. But they can't totally do it, right? Because it's not totally the same thing. But what's cool about it is that something that the rest of the world may never have seen, right? There's a scene where the guy takes a floppy disk and sticks it inside an ASR. Now, you don't need to see floppy disks anymore. The ASR is a dinosaur, but we actually see a guy creating with it again. And maybe the young generation will see that. And that's, to me, an example of the art that I live, but now the evolution of it given to a new generation who can now go back and play with it the way they could see. So that's the beauty of it, brother.
It's a gift to the world. And in that journey, the thing I'm fascinated about is how you remade yourself, partnering with a slew of icons, Jim Jarmusch, Quentin Tarantino, our friend Eli Roth.
Eli.
Would it be true to say that you discovered collaboration could expand your creative abilities?
Oh, of course. You know, the pyramids wasn't built by one man. You know, the pyramids, they actually stand longer almost than any structure because of the idea of the mind of the architect, the physical labor of the people, the perseverance, the different stones. Point being made is that collaboration is healthy, as well as, look, sometimes doing it by yourself is healthy. You start off solo, right? But as you grow, you can become part of what we call a solar system. It's a beautiful thing because it forms a complete picture. And with the Wu-Tang, the beauty of us was that Method Man could have did it by himself. Raekwon could have did it by himself. They all have that talent. But when we combined, it became the ultimate conglomeration of talent. And that collaboration I learned with Wu-Tang never left me. So when I go do movies, as we're doing the scene, talk about, well, what's the dynamic of this next take? And everybody has a voice. The director has a vision. He wrote it and he has a vision, but he wants to know what the actor thinks. What's the actor's physical ability? What's the actor's backstory to motivate him to do that move or to do that idea? So that's what collaboration does. And film, I think, is the ultimate place for collaboration. And I'm very comfortable in this world.
You have become a Renaissance man. You're a rapper, musician, producer, writer, director, film composer, philosopher. What do you see yourself as first and foremost?
Well, of course, as a fellow man on the planet Earth with the rest of us, but if I was to put a category, I see myself as an artist. And with the word artist, you could put anything in front of it or behind it. It's still that artist remains.
Another thing about you, your love of the game I love. You started playing chess at age 11. You're a serious player now, Rizza. A game of chess is like a sword fight. You must think first.
Before you move.
Yes, a core element of Wu style. Can you describe the centrality of chess thought in your life?
Well, chess gives you the ability to be analytical. You have to think before you do something. Most people don't think before they do. A lot of people in the poverty communities, especially in the black neighborhoods, and I hate to say the black neighborhoods is the poverty communities, but that's the result, right? Some of it is by design. Some of it is by circumstance, but it's a reality. And we don't sometimes think twice. Sometimes in America, where I grew up in Brownsville and in Park Hill, you may see a guy pull out a weapon, shoot somebody, and that takes only 2 seconds. And that 2 seconds changes his life and the life of the victim and the life of the community. But with an analytical mind of chess, you could think 4 or 5 times before you make the decision of what you're going to do. You could try to put some forecasting and foresight into what you're going to do. So chess has given me the power to have analytical thinking. And so there's been times in my life where I could really say that if I didn't know the game of chess, I wouldn't have tried to pre-calculate the outcome, trying to see if I move my rook, would have happened. If I move my knight, would have happened. If I move my bishop, would have happened. And by understanding that way of thinking, it's helped me in my life. And I think it will help any young man. In America, in the 70s, we taught chess in school. But in our country, a lot of the arts, and chess is an art, a game of artistic expression as well as strategy and sports. That's one of the few games that combine all these things together. But we've taken it out of schools. And I think we need to put it back in because a kid, he gets to think. Critical thinking, analogies, all these things are important in a young mind.
There are so many African-American chess players, but there's not a lot of African-American chess grandmasters, which honestly reminds me of the situation with football in America. Soccer, ton of African-American talent, men and women, only now being scouted and trained by the professional game after decades of being overlooked. In chess, there's so much greatness there.
I would say far as we look at a grandmaster, and grandmasters are grandmasters, can't take nothing from them, okay? They studied it, they played thousands and thousands of games to get to that point of being a grandmaster. But I think if you was to mine through a lot of the black chess players who are deep into chess, you'll find grandmasters. It's just that they don't go through the protocol process to become a grandmaster. There's guys who play in the park every day, but they don't play tournament. So if you're not playing the tournament, you're not gonna ever get a rating. I don't have an official rating. I've won some tournaments. I got the hip hop chess belts, the beautiful belts, I love them. But they wasn't FIDE.
That's like chess FIFA.
Yeah, for somebody to come in and say, well, you're 1,200, you're 1,300, you're 1,600, you're 1,900, you're 2,100. You don't get a chance to measure. But I would hope that more young black men go register and get your rating because chess is a powerful game. It's a game that's played around the world. I think it's something very rewarding to know that you are playing, even if you're just a guy who's in the park. It's something rewarding to know that you have a level of a grandmaster.
There are so many African-American talents now asserting themselves. A reminder that so much that's great about our country comes from often overlooked areas of our nation. Music, that's become a global language. Football now, and style more and more. What about these communities is it that fosters that singular creativity and artistic expression?
For the black community and the rest of the world to realize the potency, the power, the value of what we bring to the world, you got to first erase the stereotype thinking of what the black man isn't. In America, you had hundreds and hundreds of years of slavery, right? But they did it with the notion that the humans they was hustling wasn't human. So if we could remove the falsehoods of what a man is and what a black man is, and we go back to the principle of what our Constitution said, we say that all men are created equal, and we put them on an equal scale, we'll find that there's just as much talent in every field in the black community, as in the white community, as in the Asian community, as in the Native American community, because every man qualifies or disqualifies himself. He's going to prove it himself if he could do it. So give him a chance to prove it. And we haven't been given that chance a lot in our community. We know that. We're underserved, I guess, and underprivileged. But I think those days are moving behind us. You got to think At one point, we didn't believe we could do it because we believed the doubt that others had on us. But I think that we are removing that doubt because we ourselves are realizing that we can do it.
The world needs more empathy, Rizza.
Yeah, I agree, brother.
You have walked an incredible journey, Rizza, from a kid in Staten Island Stapleton housing projects to become a global icon. One minute, you're just making beats in your apartment. You don't even have the money to pay the power bill.
He's right. I remember having to plug my light into my neighbor's light. The neighbor was my aunt. I guess when the story come out, I won't be sued because it was my aunt.
The sounds that emerge from the basement have influenced the entire arc and engineering of hip-hop. When you reach the top of the mountain, RZA, is there anything there?
Yeah. The view was always great from the top of the mountain. The view was great from the top of the mountain, brother.
I loved when you were asked if you were afraid of turning 50 recently. You said, the blessing of aging is that I'm artistically getting greater. I was writing 16 bars. Now I'm writing 120-page screenplays.
Thanks for that research, brother. That's beautiful. Yeah, that's how I feel. I said that already?
You said that already, yeah.
Wow. Let me make a quick funny thing that life gives you, right? I don't know if I was 8 or 9 years old, kid, at my grandmother's house, and she was a big fan of Taxi. So she's watching Taxi, and I'm watching it with her, right? I don't know all the things, but I just know that Christopher Lloyd was the kind of crazy, dirty guy that worked at the cab stand. He didn't even wash, and he seemed like he was really slow. It was this big scene. It was a big party. Everybody had on tuxedos, and he finally put on a nice piece of clothing, and he's at the party, and he's totally out of place. And then there's a piano, right? And they say, who could play the piano? And he goes, I could try it. And he sits in front of the piano, and I'm, as a fan of watching the show, I'm nervous for him. I'm like, oh, man, they're going to laugh. And everybody's looking at him, and he goes like, doo. Then he cracks his fingers. Then he plays the most beautifulest Mozart piece ever. And I never forgot that scene. It motivated me. And years later, I'm in a, excuse my language, years later, I'm in a movie called Nobody.
Christopher Lloyd's your dad.
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd plays my dad. In the actor's tent, Christopher Lloyd's sitting beside me. He's playing my father, and I get to tell him about this scene. And we both laugh and laugh and laugh. A lot of people watch this show, and even if you're a kid that's kicking that ball around, whether you're in Liverpool, Manchester, you know what I mean? You're kicking that ball around and you're dreaming. Somebody's dream's going to come true, and you're going to be on the field that you watched on TV. And maybe the player who you love the most may be a coach, and you're going to cross your hero because you're on the same wavelength as your hero. You have to be on the same wavelength. Like ODB said, Wu-Tang is for the children. And if I could inspire the children, then my job is being done.
You mentioned ODB's quote, Wu-Tang is for the children, meaning the Wu-Tang catalog will help listeners navigate the map of life, wherever the map leads to. I heard you recently reminisce about the members of Wu-Tang still being friends together 30 years later, even in the face of the challenges of being in the business together, which is not easy. You said you thought your parents would be proud of those friendships, and that really struck me as beautiful. All the success, redefining an entire art form, but still, it's the friendships that are at the core of that. RZA, is that the secret of life?
The best way to say it to you, Roger, is that if love is unconditional, then there's no condition. Nothing breaks it or takes it away. It's pure. It's something pure. ODB, when he's saying Wu-Tang for the children, it's the purity of it. Of course, there's going to be conflict and disagreements, but the love is always there. So if the love is always there, then the reconciliation is always there. So me and Raekwon was on the phone just last week. It was a scheduled phone call, and we got on the phone. We had no business to talk about. Just, yo, just checking in with you, having what's going on. See what you're doing out there. You know, bong bong, how's the family? Talked about our children. Even though it was scheduled, it was a family call. And that's what love is about. And that's Wu-Tang Clan. The clan word means family. Even when we talk about our fans out there, brother, they realize they're part of this family.
RZA, Wu-Tang's for the children, RZA is for the people. We are all one family, and Christopher Lloyd is the dad of that family. To life, to love, to joy, to you.
Bong bong. Peace. Thank you, brother.
Courage.
Just the Abbott of Wu-Tang and Rog chopping it up about the three C's, creativity, chess, and Christopher Lloyd. And a quick plug for our first two Camarena conversations with Arsene Wenger and JJ Watt. If you haven't heard those yet, go back on our pod feed and check them out. We should also mention that Camarena is the official tequila of La Liga. Until next time, this is Mikey Three Limes reminding you that Camarena Tequila is 40% alcohol by volume. Please enjoy responsibly and always remember, stay in charge.
Hey Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.